So yesterday we had read through the cases of Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, which were returning the Aveda that was found in a certain place in the Shuk. There was Reb Chiya paying Dina Degame, even though he's Pater because he had a professional exemption. It was Reb Yosef Rabbi Huda engaging in the mitzvah, or engaging in a workaround, not in an inappropriate way, but basically paying the guy to Pater himself from the mitzvah of Tina when he didn't really have to, because he was Pater. And that contrasted, I think those were all the cases. Yes, and then there was the case of the Shakulai, the barrel carriers, who were Pater. Now there the Gemara doesn't use the expression Lifnei Meshuras Hadin, which is what bothers Tosas, and Tosas has a comment about it. But before we talk about what Tosas says, what makes this Lifnei Meshuras Hadin? How do you define Lifnei Meshuras Hadin? Obviously, in the most literal sense, if this is a din, anything beyond the din is Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. But that's not really enough. How do you decide what is Lifnei Meshuras Hadin? For example, let me give you a parallel example in Te'ina. Supposing a person says, the burden fell off the donkey. So here's a burden, here's a donkey. The challenge is you got to get the burden back on the donkey. So, it's my donkey, and Altar is coming by. Altar, I could use some help. In fact, you know what? Could you please load up my donkey? Because there's no mitzvah for me to load up my donkey, but there's a mitzvah for you to load up my donkey. So, it's Xeris HaKosov, if it's really Xeris HaKosov, Hakim Takim Imo. So, if I want to sit back and listen to songs, I wouldn't say which kinds of songs I would listen to. So, while you're busy doing it, you're Pater. Now, would you say in that case there's a Lifnei Meshuras Hadin for you to do it? Why not? That's a technical exemption, okay. But yes, that's why in effect you might argue that's the basis of the patur. If I'm not doing it myself, I mean, it's not exactly the same thing. But Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosef did the finish, was the Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. And as it wasn't din, he wasn't required to, but it was Lifnei Meshuras Hadin. So here, why do you say it's not Lifnei Meshuras Hadin? I mean, somebody could disagree with you and think that you're wrong. I happen to think that you're right, but why by the Aveda? You can't, we talked, unless you're going to add something
else. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, what does it depend on, like, what do you think the time for Hakim is? If it's because of the animal, then.
No, it's not. No. Obviously, the difference, I think that thing doesn't apply by Prita, because it's Tzar Balei Chaim. We're talking about loading up the animal, not unloading the animal. I think they do talk about that. I think that distinction may be made between Prita and Te'ina. And if Tzar Balei Chaim is Doraisa, that the Gemara talks about in the Neil Metzias, if it's Doraisa, then Prita would be regardless of whether he assists in removing it, whereas Te'ina would not apply. Gabe?
I mean, very different than the case of because in that case, he's father because he's old. And if he wants to listen to him, he's good. Whereas, in this case, your father says this guy is like kind of being like not so nice. So I'm not. It's not gonna be listening to help out somebody who's like doesn't deserve my help.
Okay, so I think you're on the right track. Tosis is gonna give a different distinction than one I'm drawing, and there's a reason why he does. They're not totally unrelated, but they're not identical. But I think it's useful to think. There's a reason why I want to define things this way. And Ephraim did ask the correct question of what's the reason for the mitzvah. I think the reason is very important. Because you might see in some ways Lifnei Meshuras Hadin as the spirit of the law. Now, determining the spirit of the law is not always a simple matter. And of course, sometimes we have an allergy of the spirit of the law because, you know, that's one of the major differences between Christianity and Judaism. Right. What I think is a quote from the Christian Bible. It's something like, the letter of the law killeth, the spirit giveth life, or something like that. I don't know who's supposed to say that. Is that if that's Paul or somebody? But we obviously don't believe that. We believe that the letter of the law is mandatory, and the spirit of the law is important as well. So you might understand Lifnei Meshuras Hadin is doing things that are in consonance with the spirit of the law, even though the letter of the law doesn't require it. But let's talk about it in these cases. So how does that play out here? Well, I would say the spirit of the law is I'm supposed to assist you. But along with that goes, as you know, God only helps those who help themselves. More relevant here, there would be something, a perverse outcome, if we were to say that you can just sit there, you know, lying back in your reclining chair, smoking your cigar and drinking a beer, while you watch me go load up your donkey. There's something twisted about that. Obviously, that can't be what the Torah demands. My job is to assist you, and that's what Torah says. I came to him, emo, that to assist someone means to help them in doing something when they're doing their part as much as they can as well. But if you're not doing your part, so it's a little ridiculous to say, oh, well, you know, that's at least a finisher sedent. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, what about the Aveda? What about the Aveda? Why the halacha says that if the object is found here, Harei Elu Shalom, why is it lifnei mishuras hadin to return it? Other than the fact that you don't have to return it, so returning is going lifnei mishuras hadin. Alter? No, because in many cases you don't have to, you know, you don't have to announce it even. You can just take it and keep it. Nobody, he's never going to know. There's not going to be any machlokas. What's that?
If the guy comes to you, he clearly owned it at some point.
Well, no, he owned it at some point. He doesn't know you have it, really. I mean, unless you're publicly displaying it. So, let me ask you a question. It's a popular childhood expression we have. It's not a Torah expression. Finders keepers, losers weepers. You heard of that? Yes, no? You know, it says that Shlosha Olam Legudula. No, I should say Shlosha Nimchalim Kavonosav. Ol Legudula, a Chasan, and I forget what the third is. So, it's true Nimchalim Kavonosav, but you don't need to be most.
Yeah.
What's that? No, that's different. No, this is very recently. It's in Tainus. Does he? No, but that's not what the Gemara in Tainus says. I'm losing my mind. That's, hold on, it's just in the dot. It's about the Shmuel. Oh, well, no, it is Rashi Tak. It's not in the dot, right? Or maybe it's both. Is it really a gear? I'm thinking of something else, but okay. I'm not going to belabor the... point now. So anyway, okay. So that's the expression, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Halacha obviously doesn't describe to subscribe, but halacha subscribes to Vasheva, so Hashev Tishivem Rachicha. So why is it that I'm allowed to keep this object? And if you're a lambda, you tell me, because Yeyush, that precedes Shunirishos Yakona. Very nice. But why does that matter? So the answer is that by right when I lose something, I'm supposed to get it back. And it shouldn't matter how long and where. But it's very impractical for society to have an unlimited time, you know, unlimited conditions, because otherwise you're going to wind up with a lost and found bigger than the Pacific garbage patch. Right? Eventually you just keep accumulating things and there's no way... What are you going to do with all this stuff, right? The Beis Medrash faces this problem, right? They had that, and this farm sale has already done that, you know, that used farm sale. And then they make a declaration hefker. My Rebbe said that's what they should do, because at some point you just have the space. Some people leave their farm behind, some people lose the farm, you can't function anymore. Right, so they're kind enough. Somebody spent a lot of hours to even put up a spreadsheet. So you see names in the farm, but there are lots of farm that don't have names. So really, by right, everybody should get their safer back, but it's not always feasible. It's not always feasible because you don't know who the safer belongs to, and you could wait till Moshe Mashiach before somebody realizes you're missing the safer and looks at something and he notices for sure that's his safer. Or because it's too expensive, right? You know, if I have a nice heavy Baba Basra and... and you want me to mail it to you when you happen to be, I don't know, in Bhutan, right? So the postage is a little expensive. It might be worth more than the Gemara. So it has to be, it has to be enough left there because he has to pay your expenses. So the halacha has to grapple with the fact that in a practical manner, it's not really possible to return every aveda. It's not practical, even though in principle you should. So the Torah says, if it doesn't have a siman, or if it's got a siman, that's asili daris. You know, et cetera, et cetera. All these other conditions, and if nobody comes forward, then you keep the aveda. It's yours. But in principle, it really should belong to the other person. So the din, this is returning every object. This is returning no object. The halacha sets the line somewhere here. By right, it should have been here, but that's not feasible. So now, somebody's got the case here. But you know, it's his object. So, alpi din, it's yours. But lefnei mishuras hadin, then you have to return it. Because in principle, the spirit of the law is really supposed to return all lost objects. What about Rabbi Chiya? What about Rabbi Chiya and the Dina? And the cashier, or the store owner, who accepted the dinar, which was no good, as it turns out, based upon his counsel, that after he looked at it and said, good, you can take it as payment. It's not counterfeit. Jabe?
He caused loss,
and he should be chayav mitzad dina begarme. Right? You came to me, you asked for my opinion about something, I told you you should or shouldn't take this particular coin, because... I told you you can take it because it's perfectly good currency. Turns out I made a mistake. But I caused you to lose. I was mazik you. And if I didn't have a special professional exemption, I would in fact be liable. If you hold as we do, Dainian Din Megarmei. But because there's a, either it's mixas honest, because if you're a bucky, then it must be really hard to tell, or because you want to have professionals who can give opinions. Otherwise, it makes it hard for Thomas to work. So in order to do that, you have to give a patur. Doesn't seem to be the psychology in contemporary American society. Today it seems to be we are a very litigious society. But normally, professional exemptions and halacha give you the latitude when you make a mistake to be patur, so that you will not be discouraged from doing those things. So those three, I think, ought to all fit into a certain pattern, where the spirit, in principle, really, the din should have been what is a pass lefnei mishuras hadin. But the halacha, for various reasons, draws the lines in different places. But as a matter of principle, as a matter of the spirit of the law, really, you should have done X. So let me go to the last case that we have, which is the shakulai, the barrel carriers. What would you say there? What happened? These two guys were carrying a barrel. They were hired to move barrels, and they broke a barrel. And they come to Rabbi Hanan, who is the employer, grabs their shirt as a security so that they will pay him for the barrel that they broke. They come to Rav and say, this is what happened, and we're poor, and we can't afford that. So Rav says to Rabbi Hanan, give it back. Give them the shirts back. So he looks at Rav and says, huh? Boss is us. And Rav says to him, "Lamante lech b'derech tovim." And then they have the chutzpah to ask for the wages for the job that they actually didn't do. And Rav tells him, "Give them their wages because they're hungry; they haven't eaten." And he looks at Rav, Rabbi Chana, and says, "Really?" And the response is, "Yes." Arachos tarikin teshuar. Now the Gemara there doesn't invoke lefnei mishuras hadin; doesn't quote that pasuk. Why not? So Tosus assumes, and I would agree also, even within my particular approaches, which is not so far apart from Tosus, which is this isn't lefnei mishuras hadin. This is way beyond lefnei mishuras hadin. Why is it way beyond lefnei mishuras hadin? Rami?
He's himself incurred a monetary loss and yet is paying the people.
Right. If you want to tell me you want to pater them on the grounds that it's curable onus. Right? People carry stuff, sometimes things fall. I mean, you know, the truth is when you're paid for moving something, you're generally pretty careful about it. But most of the time I think when we drop stuff, it's because it's our own stuff. We're going about the routine of our daily lives, we're not paying enough attention and we don't consider the possibility. You know, in other words, when I drop a plate or something when I'm not thinking, it's because my goal right now is not to carry, my job is not to carry plate from place A to place B. It's not my job. I'm doing whatever I'm doing, but in order to eat here or there, I need to move the plate or something like that. But that's not what I'm, that's not my focus. But someone who is serving as a mover, right, darn better darn not break stuff, because that's exactly what they're focused on. Like, what else, what were you thinking? So really, so it's treated as a pshia. But you could see from a normal experience why it might be a little bit on this. So I understand maybe I can understand why you want to pop in that. But to make him pay the wages for a job not done and damage incurred in the process, that seems a little excessive. The answer must be that they were poor, they were hungry. Rabbi Rachanan was not, you know, he had people moving his barrels of wine. Obviously, he was pretty comfortable. So Rav said, not lefnei mishuras hadin, it's beyond that. L'man teilech b'derech tovim rachos tzadikim tishmam. It's a maila beyond it. Rami?
Is it possible that, like, maybe there's a difference between the pikadon and the skirat? Like, it very well could have been lefnei mishuras hadin for giving back the pikadon, but because there was an additional step here of also paying the wages.
Yeah, so I agree. That's what I'm saying, that it could be we could split within it. And because you can't say that for the second half, the Gemara quotes the pasuk for both. I don't know if that's more likely, but I think that's possible. I think I can sort of conceive within lefnei mishuras hadin. I can sort of conceive the first half, but the second half is really hard to see. Now, Ephraim.
The second half only happens because they're opposed to their time and that they're hungry and they need the money. So the first part would have stopped there. Yet he still quotes Montana for them.
Can you answer your own question?
I don't think so.
Did the story happen literally the way it did? I mean, I assume they broke the barrel. I assume Rav Paskin, he should do that. The question is, did they really come in two stages? Or is the Gemara setting this up for us in a literary fashion? Does it? Exact same way? I want to call the law of scribes. Maybe that's not fair. It might be literary. First, that's not a raya. That just means the Bavli got it from the Yerushalmi, in all likelihood. So I don't know. I'm not inclined. Listen, I agree with you. I don't think the first half is really lifting the Mishra Sidon either. But you could make an argument, really. You really want to push it. Okay. So now I want to ask one last question. Yes, Gabe.
So in the case of his papa in Stubis, where he gave back a field
to the... Yes. I'm sorry. I thought there was a case I was omitting.
There it doesn't seem...
No, so I think there also... So the idea there, so what is the idea by the field? If a guy sells the field and changes his mind tomorrow, you know, he wants to get out of real estate. He's had enough. He sells the field. And tomorrow he changes his mind back. There's no din of mishuras hadin selling the land back. The reason why there's no din of mishuras hadin here is because if he had sold the land a la tanai, then if I don't need the stuff, I want to undo the sale, that would work. So what we're kind of doing here is taking that into account. You might even see it from a different way, which the Gemara Taina is, how do you know the Tayu of Zabin Zavina Zavina? It's Gemara Baba Basra. If I put a gun to your head, pay you full value for your car, and say, please sell me your car. Pretty please? Halacha, and you say yes, and you take the money, the sale is valid. Why is that so? What's that? I know, but he only agreed. If he hadn't agreed, Elimelech, would the sale be binding? If he didn't say yes, if I just stuff the money in your pockets and say, sell me your car, and I go take your car, and you never assent, it's not valid. But I gave you the money. And if you said yes, there's also no kinyan. I made the kinyan when I drove your car. So the answer is you have to consent. You have to give your assent. The problem with that, of course, is when I put a gun to someone's head and says, "Would you like to sell me your car?" And he says, "Of course. Here, here's full value for your car. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure doing business with you." Really? That's assent? So the Gemara actually has a fascinating line here. I believe the Gemara says it here. Yes, the Gemara on the bottom in the sign of the days. Four lines from the bottom. Talyu v'zabein, zabine, zabini. My taima called the mezabein inish ilav da anis lohava mezabein. Afilu hachi, zabine, zabine. What's that? Memzayin amid beis. So, the point of the Gemara is that whenever someone sells their stuff, it's really under duress. And yet the sale is valid. Because I'm desperate, I need to raise money. So I said, if I sold you the field, because I want to get out of the real estate business, I really don't like handling land. That's not because I'm under duress, because I want out. So then, there's no lifting of shus hadin to let you into the sale. But if I sell the land because I need to raise cash, because I need to pay for something, so it's a little bit of a sale under duress. Now, if I explicitly stated, Allah Tanai, and maybe not even a Beferish Tanai, but maybe even a Gilu Daita, so then I'd be able to, then the sale, it wouldn't be a lifting of shus hadin, it would be din. So here I didn't spell it out, but it's kind of understandable. It may not be Dvarim Shebelev Ovelev Kaladam, it may only be Dvarim Shebelev, but Hadvarim Matin, that you only sold me the land because you thought you needed the money, and it turns out you don't need the money, you don't need the cash. So that's why, now Alpi Din, you didn't make it tonight, it's not Dvarim Shebelev Ovelev Kaladam, because people sell for various reasons, but I can sort of understand what motivated you. So that's why it's listed in Mishra Sadin. Now this brings me to my last question, and I hope that my explanations of most of these, except for the Shakulai case, the carriers, will help shed light on a very particular question. Why is Pshara tied to Lifnei Mishuras Hadin? And remember, sometimes Pshara will be the same as Din. So I gave the example in Shir yesterday. Man goes and robs a bank for $1,000, and now Beisdin summons him, the bank summons him to Beisdin. And the Beis Din asked them, "Do you want to dinner pshara?" So even if they did pshara, he's probably going to owe the bank $1,000. Doesn't make a difference. Pshara can sometimes be the same as din. Pshara doesn't mean a compromise where both sides are happy or sufficiently not that unhappy. As we said yesterday, the Shulchan Aruch says, just as hatayas nishpat in din is hatayas nishpat in pshara. In pshara. So what is Pshara then? Ali Malach?
I guess the ability to bend stricter legal principles if the unique circumstances demand different application for correct justice to serve.
That's a pretty good start if you ask me. Anybody else want to add their thoughts on that? I hesitate, by the way, the word use justice, because I'm not sure how to measure that. But, Gabe?
I'm just wondering, where exactly do we see Pshara? Is it just in the Ramban that we see Pshara Lent?
Yes, and in Shulchan Aruch. They're both in Siman Yud Beis. It's in the Gemara, actually. Zil Pshara Lufnei Mishra Sadin. I forget where. I think that's the Gemara about Mitzir or something. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, no, sir, that's Ramban. Yeah, it's just Ramban, but I think, I don't know where he's quoting that from, but I think that's from Chazal. He says, the Rabbi Sena Midrash Yafa says, Obshar is Midrash Nan. I don't know if it's the Sifrei in Varam, but in Shulchan Aruch they go together. They're both in Siman Yud Beis. So, I would suggest to you the following, and this is not so different what Elimelech is saying. Take my example of Aveda. Law always has to draw lines. Somewhere. We have a case. There was a dispute about what was assumed in this contract. You say you were assuming X. I say I was assuming Y. And the truth is, you might have been assuming X, and I might have been assuming Y, but we never spelled it out. So the way we are going to determine things typically is by what is the societal assumption. If it's not spelled out, we follow what the minhag hamakom is. Now, so let's say Elimelech is going to win with that, and I'm going to lose. But basically, my taina, my intent, which we could understand why I would have thought that way and why I might have intended that way, my taina is basically being completely ignored. And that leaves me not heard and not validated, feeling very mikupach. What Pshara allows the Dayan to do is to take into account the factors that typically aren't taken into account, or if they are, in this case, they lost. And say, you know what, we recognize where you're coming from. We hear what your taina is. Even though, if we have to choose between one and the other, the din, Shuras HaDin is X, by moving the line a little bit, we're acknowledging the validity of your taina. The reason why it probably makes peace is because people feel hurt. They feel hurt. And if they feel hurt, even if they don't get everything that they want, all of a sudden, you know, they're Shalom al Yisrael. So that's why I believe Pshara and Lefnei Meshuras HaDin are in fact the same thing. It's basically saying the law drew the line here because the law has to draw lines. Let me take a charged contemporary topic. The Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. When you look at that verdict, I mean, the response to it I think to be on some side outrageous. The verdict made perfect sense. There's a question, what a 17-year-old with a rifle and a medic kit is doing in the middle of riots. He shouldn't have been there on so many levels, there's no question. There also should have been somehow more police presence to be preventing riots. But the bottom line is, he should not have been there. He shouldn't have been there. But the law, he didn't break any laws in the process. Let's put aside the technical question. He didn't break the gun law either because of a quirk in Wisconsin laws about the length of the barrel. The judge was came out 100% correct or correct for that, and he had no choice but to dismiss that charge. So basically, he was not breaking any laws. He wasn't menacing anybody with his gun. He was just there, and then he was attacked. So once he wound up in that circumstance, what he did was self-defense. Now, you could understand why someone would say, but he shouldn't have been there in the first place. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. It was totally irresponsible. Clearly, if I walk into your backyard carrying a gun onto your private property, and you read me as, now, you shouldn't attack me and try to take my gun if you know I'm not going to hurt you. But it's perfectly, you know, we can understand in that case, your not being allowed to be there changes certain presumptions. It's like a baba machteris, someone who comes into your house at night. The halacha is, there's a presumption that is generated, that is triggered, that he's going to kill you, therefore you know that, therefore you're allowed to kill him. So one can understand why, perhaps, maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but why, in this case, you could say, there is some degree of guilt if we were going, let's finish your sentence. That's not how it works when it comes to onesh. When it comes to onesh, if a person is patur mitzad shuras hadin, they're off the hook. Right? You understand why mishuras hadin, he should be, he should have been exonerated, should have been acquitted. Because he acted, it would seem, in self-defense. The tzad lefnei mishuras hadin, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. So if you were, you know, come up with a mirror case of some kind, you might say that din would be his chayev, but lefnei mishuras hadin, we understand why he did what he did. Right? If the liability, you know, there are laws that say that if you rob a bank with someone and then that someone, I think, kills someone, even though that wasn't planned, you are liable for murder. There are such laws. So you can understand why someone would claim against that or would want to talk to you that, look, it's true, that's what the law says, but clearly you had no intent to kill anybody when you went there. And it was just totally, it was not expected. Again, I'm not commenting about this law. But that's what's going on with Pshara. Pshara says the law draws a line in a certain place, but you can understand why things ought to be a little bit different. Why things ought to be, why the line, you can understand maybe the line should have gone a little further. So when I come back to my bank robber case, it's hard to argue that if I stole $1,000 from the bank, well, okay, you know what, we'll only make you pay back $900. There's no taina to be had on the part of the ganav. There's no taina to be had. What is it, Slithimishus, and what is the taina that he had? you know, if he walked in and claimed that they ripped him off on a CD because they didn't follow the rules, you know, at least, and then he went and he took the money because he was claiming compensation, you could at least understand a little bit. The guy's just still a bank robber. So if he wants to go to Peshawar, that's fine, because Beis Din will rule, pay him $1,000. Either way, it doesn't make a difference, because there's no taina there. Yoni, question?
You have a taina against the
Daraisa Din. Well, the Daraisa Din is based, in many cases, is based upon, firstly, sometimes it's a Daraisa Din only because that's the Minhag HaMakom, not because it's inherent. So when you talk about contract law and assumptions being made, that's not... The din is a din d'oraisa, that you follow the assumed assumptions, and there are rules, like what happens if you don't know, when you ain't hocham ma'acharov, and hamotzich ma'avaraya. But in terms of what those stipulations are, those themselves are not d'oraisa, they're just minhag ha'makom. So you can understand why somebody is operating with a different assumption, even if it's not the default, that's not the standard assumption, and you might, if you're doing pshara, take that into account. Right? The guy who bought the shor l'ridja, in that case, and most people who buy it l'ridja, but some people buy it l'nichsasa, some people buy an ox. This is for those who don't remember. This is the case in the beginning of the fourth parak of Bava Kamma, which is the source for Ein Hochah Mamanach Harosh. Shmuel's then a man sells someone else a cow, a bull, an ox, whatever he's selling him, some bovine that normally pulls plows in a field and can also be shechted for eating. And I bought an ox in order to use for plow, and you sold me an ox that was a Johnny Crazy ox. Crazy Johnny ox, who I can't use for plowing. What I can use him for is for meat, because he's so wild that he can't be kept under control. So I say to you, I bought an ox for plowing. And you say, well, you didn't say that. So, and even though most people buy oxen for plowing, but a minority buy for shechting, and Alta says to me, that's what I assume you were buying the ox for. And Ein Hocha Mamacha Rov, says Shmuel, and therefore the sale stands, and I have no recourse. So you could see why, if we're making a pshara, we would say, okay, you know what? I don't want to get into the Tosis grapples with why don't you look at the money as a gauge to see what he thought he was buying, because a shor l'ridja is worth more than a shor l'nichsasa, because every ox that you can use for plowing, you can also shech immediately if you want. So the fact that you can use the plow, because it's not a juvenile delinquent, the ox, or an adolescent delinquent, So it's always worth more by definition. So putting aside why the Dhamim were not Modiim, but at the end of the day, let's say there is a monetary difference, you could see why we might say, no, we'll split that difference. You know, there's Alter, $20 difference between the two, even though by right I'm not entitled to it, so Alter will give me $5 refund, he won't give me $20 refund. We understand that would fit in under this rubric. Okay, so that I believe is what the spirit of Lefnei Meshuras HaDin is. It's simply adjusting, in certain ways it's almost adjusting the line of Meshuras HaDin, based upon the other tainas that have a validity to them, even though the ultimate ruling doesn't come down to that, but it basically allows the other tainas, if there are other tainas, to shift the line just a little bit. Okay, so let's quickly go through Tosfos. Can someone who has seen Tosfos please volunteer to read for me? Yoni, go ahead. Tosis and Babit Siyah Haftal and Amadeus. Go ahead. Lefnei Meshuras HaDin. Okay, so then you have to deal with the fact that some Gemaras don't have it. Some Gemaras have the pasuk of Amasa Shayasun, and some have, and then one Gemara is Laman Teilech B'Derech Tovim. So why does the Gemara have three different modes? No pasuk, Ashayasun, and Laman Teilech B'Derech Tovim. So the Yesh Lomar. In other words, the reason why you chayiv if you're not an expert is because the assumption is if you had studied more, you would have known and not made the mistake. But if you've already learned, if you're already an expert, our assumption is that you knew enough, and we don't want, and therefore you're not responsible. Yeah, Zakim in the Kvodo, Hava. Right, as opposed to Vahacha Bishmaitin. So, what he's really saying is that ultimately, he's going to say in the next line, there are three levels here. There is Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, the Pasuk Asher Yasun, is a situation where others would be chayav and you happen to be potter, for whatever reason. The Gemara here with the Metzia, where nobody's chayav to return it, nobody else would be chayav to return it, so you don't quote the Pasuk Asher Yasun. And then, in the last case, go ahead. I'm sorry, Umikalmakom now. Right, so here, even though nobody else will be chayiv, there is a lefnei mishuras hadin. Why? Because lo mechzer mamona means he's not losing anything. It's what we say, easy come, easy go. If I have the lost object. So if I have to return the lost object, I'm not losing anything. I mean, of course, it's all psychological. Right? At a certain point, once you get it, now you think it's... Right, the difference between you're seeing a lost object and my telling you that belongs to somebody else versus I tell you there's an object that belongs to somebody else in the room and then you walk in and see it. The latter one, you don't even feel anything. The former, you walked in and you thought it was a lost object. Who could keep it? I tell you, oh, no, that's so-and-so's. And psychologically, there's a different impact. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, it's all house money. Right? As if you didn't lose anything, you didn't spend any money, the aveda is the aveda. So therefore, there, since there's no hefseid, there's still lefnei mishuras hadin. In other words, if others are chayiv to pay in this case, then ma'aseh asher yasun. If nobody else is chayiv, then you would be potter. Except then in this case, you're not losing anything, and you would say they are losing something. But then in the last case, al v'sof umanim. Tosa says that some cases are really beyond lefnei mishuras hadin. They're not even in that category. So you have three categories. A case where others would be chayiv in this case, so lefnei mishuras hadin you should pay. A case where nobody else would be chayiv to do, but it also doesn't cost you anything, so then you should do it. That's still lefnei mishuras hadin. And there's a shakulai case, which is really, I mean, you'd say for me, that's chasidus. It's really above and beyond. Yes, Gabe.
How exactly do you understand the fact that Gemara quotes the
Pasuk
in some places than other places?
So you tell me, what is Rami?
It's a little odd that like the cases that are backed up by Pesukim are on opposite ends of the hierarchy, and like there's sandwiches.
Yes, but one's a Pasuk in the Torah, and one's a Pasuk in the Divrei Kabbalah.
But why should like? But
so the one in the Torah has much greater force.
Right, but you think that like it shouldn't be sandwiching the middle case, which isn't backed up by a pasuk at all.
I think the whole point is that there is lefnei mishuras hadin, where you're chayev because other people would be chayev as well. Then there's lefnei mishuras hadin, which nobody is chayev, but you don't stand to lose both the return in the field and the aveda. And then there's a case which even under not... Well, first of all, let's talk... Before you talk about the last case on the Pasuk Rami, let's talk about what would you think a difference might be between the two cases?
The two cases that are back
there. The two pairs of cases at the beginning, where others would be chayiv versus the case where no one is chayiv but there's no hefset to you either.
Where others are chayiv, then you're really... Like, it's saying almost that you should be chayiv, you're just getting off on a technicality.
So you could see much more reasonably if someone were to say that kofen on lefnei mishuras hadin. If you're going to be kofen at all, those are the cases to be kofen because there's a pasuk that tells you have to do it. And the pasuk tells you that when you did something that cost somebody something, and others would be chayav, but you have a technical patur, hamaser asher yasan. If nobody else would be chayav, it's not hamaser asher yasan. But you know what? There's still maybe a sisay asher. But somebody doesn't say like it's no pasuk quoted. It's still the right thing to do. Now, what about in a case where nobody else would be chayav? In fact, you have suffered a hefsed. So there, we would say it's ridiculous you should ever have to pay. And the answer is, but there is a midas chasinus. But that's a different category. In other words, the way Tosis presented, there's l'fnei mishuras hadin one, l'fnei mishuras hadin two, and then something else. So I know it's true that the bookends have sukkim, but it's a very different thing. They're not related to one another. One of the factors that's going to come up in a discussion of the Achronim about Kofan on the Mishur Sadin, when are we Kofan on the Mishur Sadin? What?
Never.
For those who hold, we are. Correct. There are those who say that lo sakiru fanim b'mishpat kachadon kadol tishmau and bedol lo sedarvio. You can't show favoritism towards a poor person and din. That's correct. You can't show favoritism to a poor person and din. You can't say that even that the din is such that favors the poor person when in fact the rich person is zocha b'din. But you can say, okay, the rich person is zocha b'din, and now you're going to do lefnei mishuras hadin. Right? One may not distort justice, but sometimes social policy may not override defining justice, but may override the outcome that justice would ordinarily present. Ryan?
Can I make justice some sort of like abstract idea that has nothing to do with what actually happened? It's just like lip service to like some technical ideal of equality that like doesn't actually exist?
Maybe. Rashba, I'll give you the examples. I think I spoke to you guys about, I thought here, maybe or somewhere else, I was speaking recently about this. Halacha requires for most transactions Eidim and Hasra. Eidim and maybe Hasra, depending on the Hidim of Eretz. How well would a halachic system function if you needed formal Eidus and Hasra when relevant for a particular dinim? What's that? That's where I spoke about it. Okay. The answer is not at all. And the Rishonim were very well aware of this, and I'm sure Chazal were also. So there are three different answers in the Rishonim that are posed to dealing with this dilemma. But one of them is that the Rashba is quoted, a couple of Shuvas of the Rashba is quoted in Choshen Mishpat in the Beis Yosef and Simon Beis, which is that Beis Din Machim Ha'onshin Shalom Anadin. And any Beis Din, I think the Beis Yosef there quotes a Zohar, that a horrible it would be Dayanim who just did Din Torah, Shura Sadin. So the Rashba says you have to be Machan Rosh Hashanah on a dinner. Avalol Avad Ritar. That's the only way society can function. It would be a horror if based on insisted on two Eidim for everything, and then a Hasra. And then the Ran says that there are actually two tracks within the halachic justice system. One is Mishpat based, and one is Din Hamelach or Mishpat Hamelach. That the Melach cannot operate, and this is ideal. In other words, there are two systems of law, and that which can't be handled in the Beis Din, under the Beis Din rubric, is handled in the Mishpat HaMelech. Rami?
I mean, is it then, if we're saying that, like, it's possible to be, like, Makir Panim in cases with, like, a Lifnei Mishurei Din, okay, no.
No, you can't be Makir Panim. You have to first paskin what the din is and say, the halacha is that Yoni owes you the money. Okay, now, Rami, you're going to be mochel on it because Yoni is poor. And we're going to force you to say, yes, Yoni, I'm mochel on it. That's not distorting Mishpat. Mishpat, you have to paskin the din correctly. V'dolo sadar brivo. Once we paskin the din, now we have a different agenda.
Right. So that's like a Ran, I guess.
In other words, well, I think it's, you could call it, it's not the Ran. I think that it's closer to the Rashba. And again, it's not any of the above. Let me be clear. It's not any of the above. I'm only citing the analog of the Rashba or the Ran to acknowledge that din would dictate one outcome, but I don't want to use the word justice because I think din and justice are the same thing. But a proper society is going to dictate a different outcome. In other words, yes, Rami, you won. You are Zakai, he is Chayiv, and now pay him because he's poor and he needs it. Right? Or let him off the hook. Let him off the hook because you should consider the following things which we didn't take into account. In other words, Din didn't take them into account, but you need to take them into account because by Lefnim Mishur said then he shouldn't have to pay you everything. And if you say, I don't want to do Lefnim Mishur said then, well, that's the machlokas, what we do to you. But one of the options is we beat you up until you wanted to say Lefnim Mishur said then. So I think you have to be very careful. The din is the din. Right? The Rashba would say that when you judge without to weigh them, when you judge without hasra, you're not claiming that that's the din. You're claiming Makim Roshan, Shalom and Adin.
It's not like after you like adjudicate something, then you can just, you know, take Shokad the same way you can
beat Mafia.
What's that? It's not like right after you adjudicate something, then you can just take, you know, Shokad, like a bribe from one of the litigants, and then just say, oh yeah, now.
Correct. Well, that's the whole point. Why, in other words, if Pshara, this goes back to the point, if Pshara is only making the litigants happy with compromise, who cares if you're Mata Din and Pshara? Who cares if you slip me $50 extra and I'll tilt the Pshara a little more towards you? If Elimelech is happy with it, you know, he's happy with it, you know, who cares, you know, that, was he in that apartment? Was your apartment too, or that's a different apartment? No, no. Okay, let's say, you know, Benji's here. Benji was your roommate. And then Elimelech's got to get out, but he hasn't found a replacement, so he has to pay rent for a certain amount. And they're trying to come to a pshara. And you know what? I have to make both of them happy. And I say, and Benji slips me, you know, $20. And I say, and, you know, let's say there's $100 in dispute. Now I got to make the amount larger. When he gives me $20, that's not a little too much. But there's $300 in dispute. And I could say Elimelech should pay $200. I could say he should pay $100. I could pay $150, and Benji slips me $20, and so I said, Elimelech, $200. And the master says, okay, great, because I got off $100. He's happy. Benji's happy. I'm happy. I'm $20 richer. So that's not the din. Right? I'm supposed to not just make a comment. I'm supposed to figure out, considering whatever factors that maybe why you shouldn't pay the whole thing, even though technically speaking you might be on the hook. So I fear the factors. Pshara isn't exact in the same way as din, but it's supposed to be a good faith effort to come up with the right number. It's obviously less, a little grayer, a little more ambiguous than din. But what I have to do my best to get what to was a fairest and most correct type of compromise, not just one that I can get to both of you off my backs. So therefore, I can't be matzah pshara. I can't take a bribe for that. But once we paskin what the din is, and you won in your case, Rami, against Yoni, now I can say, okay, but let it go, because it's hard for him to pay. So, and now the question is, you could say no thank you. I'm a din kind of guy. So the question is, can I be kofin on lifnei mishur hadin? So that's the question now. It's relevant because in an individual case of din Torah, you have to rule according to the din, whether or not subsequently a kofa on lifnei mishur hadin, to make society work. But when you're creating rules for society, so you have to, din is not the primary issue, making takanos and the system of rules that has to be one in which society can function, that has to be one which is just in terms of society. You might say that there's justice in an individual case, but there's justice in society, and those are two very different things. So when we speak strictly about din, din is justice of the individual case. But pshara might be justice for society. We might not use the word justice, but it might be, it might actually be appropriate.
So, are you able to be kofa on Shara and part of those who aren't kofa by
Lefnei Mishur? It's pretty clear in Shulchan Aruch, you can't be kofa on Shara. But you might be able to be kofa on Lefnei Mishur. So then you could, again, if one of the parties refuses Shara, you go to Din. Once you pass in the Din, you might now choose to be kofa, the party that won, to do Lefnei Mishur. So then. But that wouldn't be pshara. Whereas pshara is the consent of both parties to adjudicate in a manner that might be described as a lefnei mishur hadin, and that's all. You know, once they agree to it. The pasuk I once spoke about this. The pasuk of it might be drush, but Hashem doresh mecha ki masos mishpat v'alas chesed v'atznei lachasim elokecha. So the question is, how do those go together? Asos mishpat alas chesed atznei lachasim elokecha. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I think that if society, I said in that context, I'm not sure how I tied it to the pasuk. Society does not function if every matter has to be adjudicated in a beis din. It couldn't function. Society couldn't function if most of the citizens were prone to disobey its laws. It works when almost everybody agrees to the system and obeys its laws, and then you have a few people act out, so then you can try to punish them. So there's a difference, and the way but if every time there's a dispute between people, it would run to a court. Society wouldn't function. The courts would be overwhelmed. You couldn't have enough courts. And there are more people working in courts than in other professions. The way it has to happen is that parties have to be able to work it about among themselves, which is usually a pshara. That's how society functions. So even when Beis Din can do din, because that is the venue or the forum for din, but nonetheless, even there, Chazal have a market preference, the machlokas. But we paskin that pshara is optimal. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. You know why it's a machlokas in the Gemara? Because there were some people who were hardliners in the sense that they wanted justice done, true justice. Because pshara is wishy-washy. That was one sheet. And the other sheet is that, no, we're not really not that interested in, and we are interested, but we're much happier when there's peace. We'd much rather be wishy-washy with people who are in a good place than din, and there's at least somebody who's going to be in a very bad place. Gabe?
Going back to what we were saying before, what was the third option? The Rasha, the Ran?
Oh, and the Rambam, which works for Dini Mamanos, but it's a strange Rambam, and he says you're not allowed to do it. The Rambam says the requirement of Shnei Edim is only when the Dayan doesn't know better. In other words, what the Torah says is that when two Edim walk into your court and they say something, you don't really know who the Edim are, but they tell you something and their testimony checks out, you believe them. But the Rambam says that if, in fact, you know something about the case, you know something about these Edim, etc., so the Dayan can judge even without two Edim. And the Rambam seems to think that is unlimited. Essentially unlimited. Yeah, because there's no... correct. Only by Dine Mamanos.
Yeah, of course, the Rashba who's saying that it's not Din, it's just...
Right, the Rambam has a concept of Rashba and Shoma Din, but I think he sees it as truly extraordinary, whereas the Rashba sees it as normal. I mean, the Rashba is a very big Kiddush. Each one of these is a huge Kiddush. Each one is a huge Kiddush because none of them are actually found in the Gemara. But the Rambam is based upon a Gemara. Where is that Gemara? On Pehei Amud Aleph. So I'll tell you where the Rambam is if you're interested in looking up on another occasion. I'm guessing. I think it's Perecha. It might be. I think it's later. The Tziyun here is the Rambam Perachav Dalet in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Aleph. I think it is late in Hilchos Sanhedrin, but I don't remember if that's exactly the parak. The problem with the Rambam is that the Gemara only allows for a very, very limited. It doesn't talk about a case of Motzi Mamon. It talks about a case of flipping the shul onto the other party. Now, there, I'll call it hearsay, what should have been considered hearsay, that it's not Al-Pishnei Din, all of this is just to be Mepach Shua, not to be Motzi Mamon fundamentally. So, anyway, those are the three theories. But yes, I think that as to Rami's question, Pshara is Din and Pshara are two separate stages. And the Din and being Kofan on the Mishras Din would represent two different stages. Okay. So let's take a look now in the Beis Yosef. Eli Mela, can I ask you to read? Why is it Pashut? Because it would just be Din. Go ahead. Okay. Now, to be very honest with you, I don't know why he references this Maharik. The Bach talks about it briefly as well. I don't really understand. I must be missing something reading the Maharik. It's a great tshuva, by the way. The tshuva, I think I might have once taught this. Maybe I did Yoni. Did you do Megillah with me in the summer? Yeah. I thought that when they had the summer shirim In June's band, maybe? What did we do?
Oh, we did Minhag.
Oh, we did Minhag, okay. Unless it came, it might have come up there, actually. So the tshuva of the Marif was, there was a Minhag. Today, we do fancy stuff when it comes to Simchas Torah. But apparently there was a Minhag here, I guess it's Germany, in which the Shabbos of Bracious, the first Aliyah, they would auction off. And people would give a large sums for the electricity in the shul, the light, the oil, the neiros of the shul. And the problem was, what if the person won worth the kohen? So the practice was, the kohen would either be mochel on his aliyah, or he would step out of the shul for the time. And guess what happened? There was one kohen once who didn't want to leave. And there were other shuls in town he could have gone to. And so the Marik was called upon, adjudicated. He defends the minhag at length, even though it seems to run against the din of the Gemara, because the Kohen Pari Rishon explains why he thinks the minhag is a valid minhag. It's a very important shubit about minhag in general. And then he says that he starts to talk about with Kofin, the guy to leave, because it's Kofin on Midas Adam. He can go to any shul. Why does he have to go to this shul that's Shamus? So, you know, they talk about, the Bach says, he was Marech Bedina Kfiya, not really, Amidah Saddam, not really. I mean, he just talks about one case. What's interesting is that, listen, going to Shul A and going to Shul B are not the same thing. We all know that. No two shuls are the same. But nonetheless, the Marech says that that's Kofin, Amidah Saddam. They can force him to go. So I don't know why, again, Midah Saddam is obviously related to what? Lifnei Mishur Sadin. Because what is Midah Saddam, as you know? By now you better know, I will throw you out of the shir if you don't know what is the definition of Midah Saddam. I know you were taking a big risk. You weren't taking a big risk, Gabe. I'm not really going to throw anybody out of the shir, but I'll give you a look. But yes, Shali Shali Vishalaf Shalach. That's Shura Sadin. I want what's mine, exactly mine. So that's why all these things go together. Pshara, Kofana Mida Sadom, Dina Dvar Metzra, and of any other cases that I'm leaving out. And Zenenev is Elochasa, according to some. Certainly post facto, maybe even ipso facto. So, because the root of all this, I know if you're wondering, I know we're not there yet, we'll get to it probably the next year, next week. Tomorrow we're going to do Bikias, and just the shear schedule will start at 11:30, and we've got to only finish the parak, and then we'll eat lunch, we have pizza lunch coming, in honor of the Siyam, in honor of finishing the parak. So we'll resume, but I put the tour, one of my favorite tours, that you've heard it from me probably many times by now, the tour about giving tzedakah. Why did I put the tour? What does that have to do with the Mishra Sadin Staka as a Chiyuv? The answer is that the root underlying Staka and the root underlying the Mishra Sadin is that we don't subscribe to the philosophy Shali Shali Shalash Shalash because it all belongs to the Rosh Shalom. It all belongs to the Rosh Shalom. That's why I've discovered amazingly, I think I told you this, we've discussed it some, I think outside of Shir, every person, by the way, saw in that Sicha what they wanted to see in that Sicha. And most of it, they were most people, except for the people who complained about why I didn't push for Aliyah, which I didn't oppose Aliyah. I didn't think it's a bad thing, and it's not even a bad thing if you do it Shalom Lishma. That's okay too, but it's not the solution to the broader communal problem. But everybody saw what they want. But for me, if you asked me, what was the yesod for me? The yesod is the Torah, that you have to look at your money as if it's not yours, and everything else you spend the way God wants you to spend it, and it's not supposed to be the focus of your life. Everything else emerges from that. So this whole sugya of Lifnei Mishur Sadin emerges from a notion that you have to recognize that we don't subscribe to Midas Sadom. Midas Sadom says Shali Shali Shalash Shalach. So why should I do Lifnei Mishur Sadin? And the answer is because that's true Al Pidin. The way law has to be designed to function in societies that this private property and Al Pidin Shali Shali Shalash Shalach. But that's not from a spiritual perspective. That's a wasteland. That's a churva. From a spiritual perspective, it belongs to the Rav Shalom, and therefore, once it belongs to the Rav Shalom, it's not hard to do Lifnei Mishur Sadin. You don't say Shali Shali Shalash Shalach because you don't look at it as if it's yours. So anyway, so that's, I think, the common denominator of all of these dinim. Anyway, so I don't know why he feels the need to tell you to look in the Marik, because it's not really, you know, it's Kofin on Midas Sadom, but we do have categories. We know that Rav Yosef and Rabbah dispute, and that's going to be after we finish with Mishur Sadin. We're next going to go to Kofan Midas Sadom. Right? They're disputing under what circumstances you're Kofan Midas Sadom. I would argue, by the way, there's no equanimity dispute between them. They're arguing simply how much, when is it Midas Sadom? In other words, how much of a loss do I have to incur to say, okay, well, you do it because it's better for you that way. But they're not arguing on the principle. Okay, so the Beis Yosef here doesn't understand the Mordechai's position. Now, for a moment I would say I don't understand the Beis Yosef's position. Why don't I understand the Beis Yosef's position? Well, I would have thought the Mordechai's rayas were good rayas. He found the Avida here. What's the din? Harei Shalo. Baal Avida, and he gave a simon. Chayiv lahachzir. Dina hachi? In. Ephraim pointed out to me, though, that that some of the gonim don't have the girsim in. They just have, he quotes the pasuk, he doesn't say in. But let's work with our girsim for the moment, and maybe it doesn't matter. In! He says, you are a chayiv. So, it would seem to me that it's a good raya. So why does the Beis Yosef think it's not a good raya? He says, what does he say? He says, it doesn't mention kofet. What's the difference? And here's this discussion comes up in the Achronim. Some would claim there's almost no dispute, actually. What does kfiyah mean? I'm not going to pull my belt out now, but... Kofet mishotem. Or, you put the guy in chayrim. That's another way of doing it. Now, you know, if one is... Chayiv could be moral suasion. I use every ounce of moral suasion I have with you to persuade you why you shouldn't do this. I don't threaten to beat you in the end. I don't threaten to punish you. Right? Putting someone in the chayrim is punishment. The Gemara, I believe it's in that context, one of the places the Gemara uses its very colorful expression that putting the guy in chayrim is like nakat bekufse de lishavke leglime. You know what that expression means? Lishavke leglime means let go of the shirt. You're holding on to something. Nakte bekufse means you grab him by certain parts, and then he lets go of the garment. Right? That's called kfiya. That's not voluntarily letting go of the garment. Nakte bekufse lishavke leglime. So, the question appears in the Bible a couple of times. So the Rishonim, I didn't make that up here. The Rishonim, I think, talk about that in the context of chayrim. I think they talk about, but when you can't be kofen on a get. I think they say that a real chayram is like not bekufse b'shachar v'leimeh. That's kriya. But here it could just be Beis Yosef would say chayv l'hafsid doesn't mean based it's going to force you. It just means it's morally the correct thing to do, because you're supposed to do the mishuras hadin. If in fact the machlokas, if in fact kofim, for those if the Mordechai when he says kofim doesn't mean b'shotim, the Rishonim will use the expression b'shotim. It means with lashes, with whips or something like that. But if kofin doesn't mean b'shotim, it just means bedvarim, moral suasion, then there might not be a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and Mordechai. But there are achronim who insist, no, absolutely, kofin means b'shotim. So what is the Rabban Shulchan Aruch just writes, quotes the two deos. He says, "Ein beis dechol lachof likones lefinim shur sedafu b'shiner alhem shur menarai v'yesh cholkim." So now, what does the Bach have to say? Go ahead, Eli Melech. Yeah, you don't want to write shade. Okay, go ahead. Unless you hold, like, you know, once the Rambam declared that there are no shadim, the shadim disappeared, so then it's okay. Go ahead.
Pasak Rahaban, Ravi Haizri,
Rabbi Ezri is the Rav Yah. Okay. So interesting, right? In other words, if he's Ashur, they're not really distinguished between the cases, right? One could have distinguished between the Shakulai case and the Aveda case, right? You could have said by the Shakulai case only if you're rich, because otherwise you're at the money, you lost the barrel. Whereas in the Aveda case, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, because you didn't lose that money in the first place. But they don't distinguish. Go ahead. Miu.
Miu, Beit Yosef, Kibi, Dibre, Harav Rabbeinu, Jerusalem, Shem Arash. In Kopen Halotim, Shur Hadin. The Katuzal, Pashudu, Beina. The Tamini, Allah, Shukata, Pamorify, the Kakinon, the Rehav, the Shem Shur Hadin, Ha, Ode, the Mighty Raya, Mina, who will go in his garment of fear.
But he says, Elesai, Elahanu.
Elesai, Elahanu, Ode, Mairi, Jekfiya, and Jirashi.
That's a pretty striking statement. Right? The rich person, okay, you're right, but give him the money anyway. Or let it go anyway. Okay. The Efshar. Oh. But either way, if he's either, they only said if he's not wealthy, and provided there's no hesed mamon. So that's really interesting. The claim that everybody's moda that kofa maizena is al chaser, not so pashut. It's not, midas sedom is that way. He's not referring to midah zenev l'chaser. He's just explaining that midah sedom is zenev l'chaser in Baba Basra, over Perek. So again, I didn't see a great arichos per se. I mean, it's a long tshuva, it's a fun tshuva, but not about parameters in general kofan mesedom, but just that. I mean, he talks a little bit about it, but I wouldn't say herich about kofan mesedom, herich in the tshuva. So according to the Ba quotes a fair amount of material. People think that's kofan, and particularly when a person is an asher, or let's say if there's no hesed. So if you take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Rami, you want to read?
Sure.
Yesh Cholken.
Yesh Cholken, Ayin Bach, Tzitzalet, Tzadu, Lepaka, Tayesh Cholken, Dekaipina, Lemea, Vazifim, Shuzatvin, Ima, Yikol, Et Biyadu, Lasso, Shu, Ashir, Vekata, Vekain, Ragin, Vekol, Beit, in Bistral, Lakuk, Lashir, Vekar, Ralein, Vekar,
we say davar, even though it's probably davar. It's probably present tense. Look and see what the minhag is. Kukhazi mayama davar. Okay, v'chein. Yes, so if you take a look, the shach there does very much sound like we are. I'm trying to remember, I looked this up and I'm trying to remember what the context was, but the shach certainly is nota, I think, towards the way the Bach quotes the Rav Yah and the Rabban, I believe. I'm trying to remember, what was the context then? Oh, by Aveda. I think that's a siman on Aveda, actually. Yes, but I aim. Neither is Chayrem, Chadomeh. Right, so the Tumim again, who's the Tumim? Rabbi Yonos and Ibishitz, right here at the Urim Tumim Choshen Mishpat. I'm trying to get a copy actually currently, but apparently it's not so easy to come by. They seem to be out of print. So, what's that?
Is it because of his?
No. There are two editions, the two most recent editions, Zichron Aaron and the Feldheim edition. They just both, a friend of mine who was in Muncie was, you know, stopped in one of the Svarm, you know, not the, one of the more, you know, basementers type Svarm stores, and the guy said they don't have, and like the warehouse doesn't have right now. It's hard to get a hold of them right now. So anyway, so the Tumim, he says he doesn't think anybody really holds that Kofin Mamish. Doesn't make sense. And maybe there's no machlokas. The kach kosav.
That's
real kfiya. Kimli, you know, our favorite in Kimli. Right, I hold like the minority opinion. I hold from the Mamanacha Rov. Haha. Okay. Al Kaini Dati Klamar Hanal. Ad Kan Dato. Okay. So clearly this is an unresolved issue. There are any number of Achronim, prominent Achronim, who do actually subscribe to that. Today, of course, well, I don't know that our Bati Din don't have too much power, and they don't do Din anyway. They all do Pshara, Krovel, or Din, or something like that. But this is, in fact, the discussion in the Achronim. A couple of last sources that I wanted to do. Firstly, just take a look at the Pshara Gemara quickly in Sanhedrin. Rami, go ahead. And then we'll You can see how cleverly the Gemara transitions out of it, right? In other words, it's not quoting on the day. It says that was Moshe's philosophy, but Aaron's philosophy was different. And then I've left out some of the stuff. And there's a lot of very interesting stuff from a Gaddic perspective, but then the opinion that will, in fact, be quoted by Allah, Rabbi Yeshua. Right. Bitsua, what does Bitsua mean? It means a pshara, it means a compromise of some kind. It might mean to like break it down the middle in some way. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, mitzvah, let's say the simon as I quoted the Ramah from. This is Sif Aleph, earlier was the Ramah Sif Beis. Go ahead, mitzvah.
Tehillah, Hadina Tamrusim, or Abshara. Imrasu of Abshara, Usim ben Amshara. Ukshem Shem Musar Shalol, the Hatatatin, Hak Musar Shaloyat Abshara, the Hadu family Harema. The whole big in Shalos Abshara and Hamid, Harezam Shuba.
Okay. Now again, Shaloyat Abshara, Lechad Yosem Echavero, doesn't mean you split 50-50. Because if that were the case, you don't need Beis Din to give a pshara. You can just do the math and done. Then it means that you have to take into account the considerations of both sides. In other words, just as the din is this, then you have to hear the unvalidated tainus of each side, and those have to be taken into account. You can't only take into account one side, you got to take into account both sides. And that may ultimately not mean that the line is down the middle. The line is to one side or the other. Okay. The last thing here is the Mishnah Avos and the Tur Yeridah. But there's one source at the end which is a particularly powerful source on many, many levels, which I think probably tells us a lot and the importance of Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. The Gemara Baruch Hu says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Rabbi Yosi, Minayin Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Mispala. So this is already a statement in its own right. We would say, if Chazal hadn't said it, we would think it's Chirav Agiduf. How do we know that God davens? Shenema Rabbi Yosim Al HaKotchi V'simachtem B'veish Tefilah Si. Tefilah Sam Lo Nema Al Tefilah Si. That's bad enough. But now the Gemara says, "Mai mitzalei." What is in God's siddur? What is God's prayer? Amar azutcha bar tovia amar Ravi. You are so mfarai she kavshu rachamay es kasi. He goled rachamay al midosai v'snaigim banai b'midas rachamim v'kanes lem l'fnei mishuras hadin. So this, whatever it means, God prays, God wishes, is that he should deal with us l'fnei mishuras hadin. And similarly, Tanya, Amar Bishmo ben Elisha, somebody made a song out of this. It bugs me. Pamachas, nichnasti lahachtir ketaras l'fnei ulufnim. V'ra'isi atasfiyo kashem tzvako shu yoshev akisei rabbenisa. V'yamar li Yishmael b'ni borecheni. So, kivayocho, God asks the Kohen Gadol for a blessing. Amarti lo yiratzon fanecha shi yishbu yichshu rachmechas kascha. V'hi golu rachamecha midosecha. So I'd like to say that the importance of Lefnei Mishuras Hadin is a matter of self-interest. You know, when Yom HaNoraim comes, we're a long way from there because we're just past Yom HaNoraim. But when Yom HaNoraim comes, the only way which we could possibly escape and survive to the next year is if God does himself us Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. Because if God did Shuras Hadin with us, we would probably, almost all of us, be Nigzarim Lemisa. What do they say? La'altar? What's the expression go after? It would be Misa. It would be immediately for Misa. There would be no chance. The only possibility we have in standing in judgment, on the right, is if God does Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. So for a person in his own life to insist on Shuras Hadin, you know, would seem to be highly unwise and inappropriate, because then God might say on the Yom HaDin, say, well, you didn't do Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, why should I do Lefnei Mishuras Hadin with you? You could also see in this, by the way, another facet of imitatio Dei. God is engaged, is described and engaged in Lefnei Mishuras Hadin, because we too are supposed to engage in Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. Okay. So that closes our discussion directly with Lefnei Mishuras Hadin. We'll stop here. On next Eon Shir on Monday, we will start to explore Midas Adom and whether or not, in fact, this Midas Adom is actually a Din to Oraisa, and how that is to be understood.